It's that time again on a Friday when AM Live presents another update from the Coalface with Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. Good morning to you, Martin.
Morning, Gillian.
The South African gold mining industry is being shaken by claims of silicosis sufferers. Tell us a bit more about that and the possible effects.
Yes, you know, I mean, some of the numbers that have been bandied about what claims could total against the South African mining industry have been quite startling. In fact, some of the analysts in London have put a figure of $100 billion US, you know, which is like three times more than the market capitalization of our biggest gold mine. So, you know, I think that they're talking in numbers like that because this silicosis scourge, and we used to call it phthisis in the old days, but silicosis is so widespread in the mining industry, and it's a legacy issue as well as a current issue. So you can imagine if there are, and they estimate like 300,000 sufferers, you know, if those people come forward and claim, it could be exceedingly onerous on the South African mining industry. And what has happened is that the Constitutional Court, the highest court in the land, has opened the door for this because we do have two statutory levels where, you know, statutorily you could claim. And the two levels, one was more generous than the other. And the mining industry, I think, unfortunately, at their peril, chose the less generous option in terms of compensation, whereas the court is now saying, you know, you should have possibly chosen the more generous option. But in the meantime, they've opened the door and said, yes, sufferers from silicosis are now able to have a civil suit. They're able to impose a civil lawsuit against the mining companies. So the mining companies are now rushing out and saying, look, we should get this compensation in order. Let us go to the more favorable compensation, but let us sort it out very quickly, because you can see the reaction of investors. Investors are starting to get a bit shaky over this issue of silicosis, and analysts in London, you know, have really laid it on thick and saying, look, you must take this seriously. We noted that Anglo American, in their introductory remarks at their AGM, you know, their chairman and their CEO immediately referred to the silicosis issue, and they have offered to pay for health care of people up until this case is decided, because there's still a long way to go with actually the merits of the case, you know, so we will have to watch the space.
What about people that already passed away as a result of silicosis? Would their family members be able to claim as well?
You know, this is an issue that the National Union of Mine Workers raised. They are starting a bit of a crusade, getting a register going on the number of people that are suffering from it, and they also mentioned that people who have died will also be on the list, so it could be a pretty extensive list.
And I suppose one of the key issues there would be how far back they would actually go.
Exactly, because it goes way back 130 years.
And if we're looking at an amount, what did you say, $300 billion, that could potentially wipe out the gold mining industry, do you think?
Well, we're talking about the number that was bandied up and has been heavily criticized by Anglo Gold Ashanti's Mark Udufani, the number that they calculated based on, you know, like the claim of one of the individuals of 2 million rand. If you extrapolate that over 300,000 people, they are calculating, these analysts from the RBC in London, Royal Bank of Canada, that this could be a damage of $100 billion US, which would be enormous.
Well, we're done with the bad news. Moving on to some potentially good news with respect to platinum. Tell us a bit about that.
Yes, you know, we've got three big platinum mining companies, and the smallest of these, Lonmin, has sort of given a lead in how much it's going to expend over the next 5 years, and they're looking at 13 billion rands worth of expenditure, and this is going to be good for the Rustenburg area, concentrated around the Marikana mine, and again, focusing on platinum. We've had criticism from various think tanks saying that perhaps we're under-producing with platinum, we're always behind, under-supplying, and that could be dangerous in the long term. You know, if platinum is going to play this big energy role that people think, that, you know, the fuel cell will be the cell that drives our engines, our cars, you know, perhaps we are under-producing here and allowing the price to go a bit too high. If the price does spike, you know, people look for alternatives. So they're saying protect the industry and produce at a level that comes close to meeting demand. And so we see that Lonmin, now listed in London and Johannesburg, has said we will be spending 13 billion rand on expanding our Marikana mine, mainly the Marikana mine in Rustenburg, over the next 5 years.
Now, if platinum producers can meet the demand, what sort of spin-off are we looking at for South Africa?
You know, I think that if platinum does play the role that some people expect it will in the future, what Saudi Arabia is to crude oil, you know, South Africa could be to the future new age energy. So I think there is reward.
And apparently a new push is underway to make engineering attractive to the South African youth.
That's right. The Engineering Council of South Africa has taken cognizance of the fact that we need a lot more engineers to come into the system, and they've launched this Ingenious program. And of course, it does come against the background of the government wanting to spend $215 million on education and training, and also looking to try to get 30,000 more engineers by 2014, which people say is a pretty tall order. I mean, if you look at the Engineering Council of South Africa now, that's the statutory body, ECSA. Its register says that we've got 35,000 engineers. Now, not all engineers are registered because it's not mandatory to register, but you know, that's the sort of level we're looking at, 35,000, less than 3,000 of them women. So they're trying to get more activity from women in the industry, and at the same time get youth interested, get this put on the table, get it in the schools. They're getting a website listed. They're doing a lot of brochures. They're going outreaching to the schools. And one of the areas that of great concern is municipal engineering, you know, with the municipal elections coming up. This is really one of the Achilles heels of the engineering equation. And there was an attempt to try and get retired engineers to twin with young graduates and youth, and this has helped at the municipal level, but certainly still inadequate. And we look at the global numbers. I mean, we're way behind. We've got about one engineer for every 3,000 plus people. Brazil has got, you know, one engineer for every 200 plus people. So, you know, we're like 13 times behind. Australia, similar numbers, you know, that we're falling behind on the engineering front, and our service demands are growing, as accentuated by our elections next week.
Why do you think it is that we have such a shortage of engineers in the country?
You know, this is a maths and science issue as well. So the teaching, you know, it starts at a very early stage, and one has to look at the whole education system and see that maths and science are key.
Martin Creamer, thank you so much for joining us again on AM Live. Martin is publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly, and he will be back at the Coalface at the same time again next Friday.